We just came through the series, Our Living Faith. That whole series is about living this thing out. It's about authenticity. If I can tell you one thing that just really breaks my heart over and over is, as a pastor, I get to see inauthenticity lived out over and over and over again. And it breaks my heart because they're people that I love. I'm not perfect. You get that, right? But I get to see how many of me are you seeing?
One.
Pastor can hurt you. You're one person. But there's so many of you. Like, I can make a mistake. But like, when multiple people like are, and I get overwhelmed sometimes when I'm like, do I even need to be doing this anymore? Should I even do this? Because I see so many people that they will sit in a house like this and remain unchanged for years. And it breaks my heart. You know, it makes me feel, and it's not about me, but I am telling you how you would feel. It feels like, are you even anointed? Like, what's even happening? And so that whole thing about our faith being authentic, it's so important that in our families, we're authentic. Like, I try to be so transparent with the church about my family. Why do I do that? Because I want you to see Shay and me living out our life in front of you. And sometimes we're up to doo-doo this high. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are in the cesspool of the trenches of life. And it's like, come on, we can make it through. We can make it through. We're going to make it through. And you just come in. And that's when you know, Psalm 100 means so much to me. When you know the cesspool that you're walking out of into the sanctuary of God and say, I'll praise him anyway. I'm going to praise him anyway. I'm going to praise him, you know, when my world is not where I want it to be. So I'm speaking to you as a person of compassion. I'm just telling you, man, Shay and I, in our families, we've got some skeletons that have been in the closet. And it's like, when skeletons are kept in closets, shame prevails. It's like, the best way is drag that sucker out and command it to come to life. The dry bones, like what's dead, what the enemy meant to kill you, to shame you, bring reproach upon you, bring it out in the open and say, this is not going to have power over me anymore. Shame keeps the skeleton in the closet. But if you're going to have a healthy family, if you're going to have family that's developing healthy relationships, it's going to be an ongoing process. It's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. Why? We're humans. We are weak. We are frail. And God's grace is sufficient for us. It makes the difference up. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, when God is creating Adam and Eve, he makes him from Eve from Adam's rib. And you know that Adam calls her woman. And God says to Adam that, you know, it's not good. Well, he's literally saying to us, but he said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make a helper for him. And I've said this before, and if you don't know this, it wasn't like God made a mistake. Like, oh, I'm missing something here. What's going on? Oh, it's not good for him to be alone. No. God, that was his plan all along. Eve wasn't an afterthought. Like, oh, I made this guy, but he's lonely. You know, he's got all these animals. He needs somebody like him. No, his plan all along was to have Eve. And he was making a statement, not an epiphany, like, oh, it's not good. What was I thinking? It's not good that man is alone. He made the companion for him. And this is what, as he's talking about all of this, it says, all of that explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So today I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes about the relationship between a husband and wife, all right? The relationship between a husband and wife. Now, there are those of us in the room that it's like, man, your marriage is the best it's ever been. Some of you guys are in the room and your marriage is the worst it's ever been. And some of you are in that place where, man, we've had some bad days, but it's kind of, you know, leveling out right now. We're kind of getting back on solid ground. And then there are some of you that just wish you were married. And so wherever you are, in whatever stage of life, of marriage that you are, I want you to understand some things. I say these things as respectfully as I can about my relationship in front of my wife. The first 5 years of our marriage, I thought I had made a mistake. I'm just saying that respectfully. She knows this. I've said this to her. But we were young. She was 18. I was 19. We moved right out of our bedroom with, you know, posters of Farrah Fawcett, and I don't know what she had in her room. But I had, you know, all of these, you know, posters and stuff. I moved straight from there to college with a bride. I don't even know how to be an adult yet. And all of a sudden, I'm a husband. And I've got my way, and she's got her way. Her way's the right way. My way's the right way. We're trying to, we grew up together. We've been married 37 years. So we grew up together. My first 5 years, I'm just telling you, I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck with her. I'm telling you this. Now, she, if you ever want to preach, you just let me know, and you can get up and say whatever you want. But I was a ministerial student in a time that pastors do not get divorces, pastors don't have marital trouble, and I'm studying to become one. I'm like, my whole world is blown if I were to leave her. And we sat down and we made a covenant together. I remember when we made it. I remember where we were at. And I'm just telling you, if I did not have the foundation of Jesus, and I only had a few years, I only had like 3 years. If I had not had that foundation of Jesus and the model my parents left me of faithfulness and endurance and stickability. And I saw my parents in some rough times. But that foundation kept me connected to Shay and fear, not from her, but fear that my career would be gone. There would be no place for me in the kingdom. These are just thoughts that I that were prominent at that time. And so my first 5 years, Shay and I, to my knowledge, I've never hit her. I think I may have pushed you one time. I don't know, but I've never hit her because I remember my dad teaching me, son, you never hit a woman. So you throw things. Like, you just throw stuff at the walls. I've done it, man. I've thrown stuff at the walls. I've broken stuff. But all that stuff was stuff people gave to me. When I started buying stuff with my own money, I'm not joking, we lived in a little apartment, apartment number 20. At Lee University, in Carroll Courts, as our first little apartment. I mean, it wasn't even as big as a stage, probably. I remember I was so mad. And I mean, we'd have some violent, you know, just verbally violent. And I was so mad at her. And I'm like, the only way I knew to get rid of my aggression was just tear stuff up, throw stuff. And she'd be like, you better not throw that. You better not break that. And I'm like, you know, and I would, you know, and I don't remember what it was, but I picked something up and I'm like, wait, we paid $20 for that. No. And I'm looking around for the next thing and I pick something up and I'm like, wait, no, that's more expensive than that one. Because I bought it. We bought it. And I realized in that moment, do you know how stupid this is? It was a light bulb going, I'm like, this is stupid. I don't need to throw stuff. Man, we've had some whammies. I'm telling you, we've had some crazy fights. I've left in the middle of the night because I've been so mad. I've gone and stayed in a hotel room before. I told you all that story. I went and got me a hotel room. I was so mad at her. I'm like, I'm going to get me a hotel room. And I kid you not, I'm in the shower and I'm just done. And T.D. Jakes is on preaching about marriage. I got it on. I don't even remember cutting it on that because I don't watch a lot of that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I flipped it, and it was Joel Osteen, and he's just talking about your marriage covenant, and I'm like, are you kidding me? For the love, you know. But that's how God is. He'll work with you. He'll work through you through your craziness. He'll work through you. He knows we're human. He knows, you know, things are going on in our world. He'll work with you if you give him something to work with. But in this, that I want to just, this meaning Adam giving his rib up, creating, God creating Eve, it explains why a man leaves his mother and his join. In the King James Version, it's cleave, like I'm clinging to something. So leaving and cleaving, I know you've probably heard that before. These are two important things in a healthy relationship. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at what Paul is saying here. And in my script Bible, it at verse 21, it says, Spirit-guided relationships, husbands and wives. I love that. Spirit-guided relationships. Because I'm telling you what, I don't know that Shay and I would have made it if we didn't have the foundation that we had in Christ. And so spirit-guided relationships, verse 21, Paul says, and further, he's talking to husbands and wives. He's talking to couples. He's talking to the church, couples in the church. And he says, further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So let me just stop. Every time we look at this or we hear anything about husbands and wives from Ephesians chapter 5, I don't know if you've heard this, but I always heard husbands are supposed to do what? And wives are supposed to do what? What are wives supposed to do? Submit. What are husbands supposed to do? Love your wives. But we're supposed to both submit. All right? So our submission looks differently. This is women's submission looks like following. You can still, every leader is a follower. Okay, you can still lead, but you're a follower. Women's submission looks like following, and husband's submission looks like leading in a certain way. So let's look at it again. It says, hang on, let me get back there. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church, and the church submits to Christ. So you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father. So he's quoting Genesis chapter 2. As scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So I say again, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. All right? So, I get it. You probably already have lots of questions that are popping up in your mind and rebuttals for this scripture. Well, if I'm going to respect him, he going to demand some, you know, he ain't going to demand respect. He better earn it, you know, like all of these things. I totally get those kinds of things. That's our humanness in us. But when we start looking at, you know, operating as Christ operated, here's the thing. Do you want Jesus to wait until you deserve it to give compassion to you? Because I'm just telling you, you're going to be waiting a long time. Do you want Jesus to wait until you deserve it? Some people are you know, waiting on God to come through in this big way, and they're not doing anything for God. And God many times will still bless those people out of his generosity, or like, I don't understand it sometimes, but I'm not God. But do you want, so if we're operating like God, we don't wait on that. We take initiative. We take initiative. And I get it. Some of you guys may be in some serious places where it's like, Pastor Rife, it's really not that easy. And I get that. I truly get that. But if you'll just press in and press on, I promise you, God will make it clearer and clearer as you go of how you can implement some of these things and be true to this portion of Scripture. I want you to understand this. This is just the big takeaway for us. In a marriage relationship, my spouse is my top priority. Like, the Scripture says that a man leaves his mother and dad, and he clings to, and is joined to a wife. A few years ago, there's a young couple that I knew, very dear to me, and their marriage failed. And one of the things that caused their marriage to fail, it was a number of things, but the guy said, man, I just don't want to be at her parents every night. You know, I just don't want to be over there every night. I mean, we're trying to build a life for ourselves, and every night it's we're going to their house for dinner. We're going to their house for this. We're going to their house for that. They just drop in unannounced all the time. Like, you know, we'll you know, just be watching a movie, and you know, and you know, their family is at the door. And I said, do this. Next time her dad shows up at the door, I said, answer the door butt naked. I did. I told him exactly that. I said, answer the door butt naked. And I said, you know, obviously you're not going to show all your glory, but you're going to show him enough that he knows you're butt naked, and tell him, oh, you caught us at a really bad time. It will never happen again. I promise you. What was happening is there was dysfunction in that relationship. You know what I'm saying? And as we look at this, I want you to look at what the Scripture is telling us for a healthy marriage. One, the priority of the marriage is the relationship on God. Put your priority of the marriage where the relationship is on God. When Shay and I, when we started our marriage, I'm just telling you, I don't know how Shay and I were smart enough to know this. Like, well, I can see how she was smart, but I'm just telling you, I was ignorant in the faith. I did not know a lot of stuff about Jesus, but somehow I had enough faith and word in me that I was listening to people who were teaching me. We sat down and we built our life on Jesus. We're like, we're always going to be church people. We're always going to be church people.
Well, I got hurt in church. The preacher disappointed me.
It's boring. You know, all of the, like I'm just telling you, do you not think that Shay and I have been hurt? Do you not think that church sometimes is boring and I'm the one preaching? You know, do you not think that all of these different things, but we don't come because of that. We come because the Word of God instructs us to be connected with the body. And so, you know, if without that foundation, I'm telling you, our marriage would not have sustained itself. I'm telling you, some of these battles that I've been through for the last few years in our family would not, the first place when I got earth-shattering news in my family, the first place that I came to was this church. Crawled up in a fetal position and cried like a baby because I just getting here was my security place. I felt the Lord here. Prioritize your marriage relationship on God, not the workplace, not your money, not all your friends, not all of that. Prioritize it on God. Raise your children. We're going to talk about kids in a few weeks, but man, raise children. Like right now, I don't know where my son is in his relationship with God. I don't know. He could be watching right now. But I don't know where he is. I know he has the Word of God inside of him. He's been taught it. He's been read it. It's been lived out before him. But I'm telling you what. I'm still holding on for God to do something beautiful in Noah's life. I'm believing that because we dedicated him. I stood in a church at Sheila's mother's funeral a few days ago. And as we're sitting there, I don't know who I was talking about, but we were talking about our children. And I said, I dedicated my son. I was standing out there. I said, I dedicated my son right here in that spot. That's where I dedicated him. I'm standing on that day when we stood before the Lord and said, God, he's really your son. We'll take him. We'll do the best we can. But I'm standing right there because we've dedicated our relationship. It has not been easy all the time. Sometimes we've been messed up. Sometimes have been better than others. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop. Sometimes we're in the valley. But it's built on him. And when you build your relationship on him, I'm telling you, you will come back around when things get out of hand. There are times when Shay and I, in our relationship with each other, our family relationship, just our personal dynamics, that we will get out of alignment. But because our foundation is built on Christ, we're tethered to him by Holy Spirit. That when that mess starts happening, you know, Holy Spirit, he will, you know, jerk a knot in your cord. You know what I'm saying? It's like there'll be times where it's like, you know, you'll feel Holy Spirit just tug, like, what are you doing? Get back over here in your lane. Stop trying to pee on the bushes. You know, stop trying to, you know what I'm saying? You're walking your dog and your dog's over. Like, stop doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing in places that you shouldn't be doing it. Thinking thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking. And Holy Spirit will tug you and say, what are you thinking? Get back over here. Get in alignment with Holy Spirit. And that's what a healthy marriage looks like. Listen, the scriptures say Jesus was tempted in all ways as man. Many of us don't like to, if you take that scripture and you play it out to the end, like we start thinking, Jesus was in some funky positions. Like he was in some bad, you know, headspace at times if he was tempted in every way. That means he was tempted to have sex outside of marriage. He was tempted to steal. He was tempted to, you fill in the blank. He was tempted to hate. He was tempted to all of these things. So if he was tempted in those ways, All of us are susceptible to those things in our marriages. And what we have to do is continually prioritize our relationship. I know it's rough right now, Shay, but we're going to get it through it. I know it's rough right now, Rife. I know we're probably not at the place or whatever. And I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. None of y'all need to worry about me and Shay. Because I'm telling you, we'll go duke it out. I'll tell her and she'll tell me and Holy Spirit will tell both of us. We got a history of 37 years, and I'm not talking about all those other dates you keep. First time he looked at me on this day, first time he gave me blew a kiss. All those. I can't remember those. But prioritize your marriage on Jesus. When you keep the foundation there, I promise you, both of you have to be on the same page. Both of you have to be on the same page. Can I tell you this? If you have a spouse that is not on the same page, you keep pressing on in your God story. This is so important. This is so important. Well, you don't know what it's like. It's the living hell living. I get all that. I get all that. And you'll have to figure out what the logistics of that look like for your life. But you keep pressing on. If I've told Shay, listen, I'm going to love the Lord till the day I die. I'm going to be a church-going person. They'll probably have to carry me out of here in a box, I guess. But the point being that I'm saying, if she ever stops, every Sunday morning, I'm getting up and going to church. Well, what are they going to say about my wife not coming? That'd be really highly noticeable for the pastor's wife not coming. But do you know it's happened? I know pastor's wives that don't go to their church. That, how messed up is that? But if we're retired and all that jazz and something were to happen, I don't care. I'm going to be with God's people. I'm going to be serving somewhere. I'm going to be worshiping somewhere. You do what you want, but I'm staying the course. And I hope that she'll get back. And it could be vice versa. It could be Shay is, the pure, holy, church-going person, and I'm over here living some craziness. And I would encourage her, whatever you do, don't let me pull you down. You stand on Christ the solid rock. So I can't say enough about this. And the church right now has so many people that are not living by that. Couples are not on the same page. And we're not living an authentic faith. We're not living our faith out. What we're doing is we're faking our faith. We're faking our faith. Don't fake it. We're screwed up too. We don't have to lift up and show you our scars and your scar. Everybody's got scars. Everybody has something that they're dealing with. We get it. You're not perfect and we're not perfect. But in Christ, we are made perfect. This is the second thing. Set healthy boundaries to protect your marriage. I'm going to circle around to that story about the naked guy at the door with his father-in-law, because y'all thought I had forgotten that and wasn't going to finish that. This is what I was teaching him to do. Set a boundary. Set a boundary. My example was serious. It might have been humorous, but the point that I was trying to make to him was, hey, she has left her family. You have left your family. You guys now need to cling to one another and build your family, your new family. And there have to be boundaries. There's a time when parents need to come over. There's a time when you go over to parents. There's a time for those kind of healthy extended families or immediate families. But your family, your relationship is the most important. I'll tell you what, Shay will yank a knot. Holy Spirit yanks knots in my chain, and so does Shay. Shay will let me know, hey, you ain't been at home enough. You've been out too many nights. She'll let me know. And she's like, I want you home. Okay. All right. We have to spend time together. There are times I know some church people are like, why is pastor not getting back with me? Why is pastor not getting back with me? And I'm like, listen, I will get back with you. And if it's urgent, I'll get back with you soon. And if it's not, and you leave me a message, I'll get back to you, you know, in a day or so. But there's times where I'm like, I literally have to just put this away. There have been times I've just put it in another room so that we can just be together. We can just, you know, spend time and not have any distractions because, you know, you're not going to be in my life one day. You're going to move away. Maybe some of y'all get mad at me and jump ship. I don't know. She's going to be in my life until death do us part. Like, that's the most important relationship outside of God that I have on the planet. The most important relationship that I have. You need to set some boundaries. You need to set boundaries. Now, I'll get into some things, and it's like, man, I know I'll start offending people because I, you know, but I have family that that does some of this stuff, and I'm like, man, y'all just need to set some boundaries. Like, there's your intimacy is suffering because you don't set boundaries. You don't set boundaries with your kids. You don't set boundaries. And man, I'm just trying not to look at anybody, Jesus. I ain't trying to offend nobody. But we're those people that my kids never slept in our bed except when it was, you know, a bad dream or something like that or a terrible storm. And because we wanted our bedroom and our bed to be mommy and daddy's bed, not our bed. And we that room is sacred, and you know, and they can't just go in our room. Like we, you know, that's you don't have any business up in our room. Like if you go in there, you can ask us, and you can come in. You know, it's not like you know this is not the house that they live in, but it is a different room than any other room in the house. And I kid you not, and Lord Jesus, if any of my family's watching and I'm offending anybody, I love y'all. I'm sorry, but family that they have, that has gone into teenage years, like sleeping in the bed has gone into teenage years, and that's just not healthy for a couple. It's just not. There's so many things like that that you have to set boundaries. You have to set boundaries so that you can maintain this as the most important relationship in your life. Listen to me. I get it. You're at different stages of life. You are at stages where, like, grandkids are super important right now. Or maybe your children are at that stage where they got umpteen games and whatnot. This is, Shay and I decided this for our family. We lived in Atlanta, and a family in our church came to us, and they're like, they're at, I don't know, a birthday party that we were doing, and they're like, we just rushed, you know, from Alpharetta from a soccer game. And we have, this one has a game at, you know, 4 o'clock. And then we have another party that we have to go to. And I'm like, woo, man, y'all's life is, no, I could not. And this is what we told our children. You can be involved in, this sounds so harsh. You can be involved in one activity at a time. You're not going to do horseback riding and soccer and, you know, pottery class and umpteen different things because I have a life too. And my life is not your chauffeur to taxi you to every little thing you want to be a part of for a month and then you get tired of it and I've just wasted $500 in whatever. So we would set boundaries. You can be involved in one thing at a time. And that you're a part of this family, but you're not the center of this family's universe. And so that those were boundaries that we set with our kids. We set boundaries for Sunday. Sunday is God's house. If you visit me from out of town, I will see you when I get back from church. And we don't miss church because you're visiting and you don't go to church. Well, we're going to do church because we had 2 days with you already, and we'll be back in just about 4 hours. That's how that was a boundary for us because this was important for us. Your children are not your priority. There are people that your child is more important to you than your husband. And you've got your priority. Your grandchildren is more important than your children. You need to learn the hierarchy of the family, man. You need to learn that there are these relationships that are important, and you've got to protect those. Work. Listen. Oh, Jesus, I don't even want to look at people. Work is not your priority. That's not your priority. Your wife, your husband is your priority. This is another one. Oh, Jesus, I can't even look at people. Church stuff is not your priority. Notice I didn't say church. Even that comes after your relationship with your spouse. But there are folks gone, like, I ain't even joking, five nights out of a week, they are gone from their spouse. And you ain't had a date night in 6 months. Listen, God does not want you and I to make our spouse an expense so that we can worship him. Some of y'all are just addicted to church stuff. Some of you ain't addicted enough. I might need to write that down. Some of y'all are addicted to church stuff, and some of you ain't addicted enough. Listen, God doesn't want us to do umpteen spiritual things. She's my ministry, and I'm her ministry. Like, she is my mission field. I'm her mission field. I don't mean to be saved. I'm talking about to make her happy. I serve a pampered wife. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, that woman is pampered. And the reason is because I love her, not perfectly, because I put her in her place. What, yesterday? She is getting on my nerves. I ain't even going into that. But she knows, and she knows I was right. But this is the point I'm making. I'm not perfect. And there are times that you can't write off the whole experience because you have an off 30 minutes or whatever. But I love her, and I serve her like I serve Christ. So serving her is a privilege to me. Serving her is something I want to do. And things that I do for her, I'll do it going, I don't even know if she's going to appreciate it, but I'm going to do it anyway, you know? And sometimes she does, and sometimes she doesn't. But that's not why we do it. Jesus said, while they were yet sinners, he loved us and gave himself for us as a sacrifice. I think it says propitiation for our sins, a substitution for our sins. He did it, and we hadn't even bought into it yet. He did it knowing that millions upon millions of people are going to die and go to hell because they're not going to choose to accept his sacrifice. So loving the church, my wife, like the church is, it doesn't matter. When I do stuff for her, it's not like, okay, I'm waiting. Did you like it? Tell me how awesome it is. Tell me how awesome I am. Like, I don't do it for that. I literally don't need that because I just did it because I love her. So, setting some boundaries up are going to be crucial to your marriage. All right, I got to hurry. Number three is nurture intimacy. Nurture intimacy. Intimacy can be so many different things. It could be, you know, communication. This is a difficult one for me a lot of times because I don't like to express my feelings and things. I internalize that. So a lot will be going on inside of me, and she wants to word vomit on me. You know, that's just typically a woman response. And but I'm very inward. I process things in, and you know, and then I get irritable and nervous and all of these things. But we have to communicate that intimacy. I'm telling you, she can tell when stuff's off with me, and I can tell when stuff's off with her. Why? Because we're intimate with each other. We spend the most time together of any other people in the world with each other. Sexually, you know, this is something that intimacy there, and I know like people get weirded out when you talk about that, but you shouldn't. But sexually, you need to have a good part of your life there. It needs to be healthy and wholesome and spiritual. Yes, I said spiritual because that pleases God, because he created us for those kind of activities and all of that. We nurture our intimacy. We nurture the affection that we have toward each other. I'm just telling you, you have to work at it. And the older you get in your marriage, you'll have to work harder. It's easy when everything is in the right place. And then, you know, as you age, things start sagging and dragging and, you know, getting wrinkles and all of this, you know. But I didn't, you know, that's not the verse. I fall in love. You fall in love with the person inside. Our bodies are going to change and all of that stuff. But we nurture our relationship. We just went on a date night the other night, had just a fun time hanging out. We have to have those times. And we still use that language. It's like, you want to go on a date? And I posted something like, I'm out with my girlfriend. That's funny and giddy, and it's necessary to keep that. If you don't do that, you're robbing your spouse. You're robbing your spouse. I encourage you, love your spouse in that way. If you are not married yet, look at all this material I'm giving you to have an incredibly successful marriage before you even start. Number four, mutually submit to one another. This is something that it's like the scripture says, submit to one another. For so many years, so much bad teaching has happened. Misogynistic teaching has happened that has put all the responsibility on the wife to submit. I'm telling you, there are many times that I submit to Shay because I'm loving her like Christ loved the church. So I'm just submitting. I'm letting her have her way. Are you following me? I'm letting her have her way. It's not important to me. I'm honoring her because this is important for her. You know, an example would be going shopping with a woman. I'm just saying. That's a horrible thing for any man to have to endure. But you're just loving her. And I'm just saying there are things in our life that we do because we love her. Amen? And so mutually submit to one another. Understand that in a relationship, it's give and take. So in a marriage, my spouse is my top priority. It's not your children. It's not your grandchildren. It's not your job. It's not to the 12 church events that you could be at multiple times a week. It's not the football game. It's not your hobby. I'm telling you, Shay's dad, he sacrificed his family on the altar of golf. It's not the hunting camp. It's not the fishing boat. It's none of those things. Your spouse is your top priority. Say it with me. In a marriage relationship, my spouse is my top priority. So what are you going to do with this? Like, because remember, we're at all different stages of our marriage. So what are you going to do with it? Number one, determine one thing that could bring your marriage closer to God. Now, when I say this, I'm going to ask you to do this as a couple if you are a couple. You and your spouse are going to sit down. Shay and I are going to sit down, and we're going to talk about, like, what's one thing that could, like, bring our marriage closer together? Not you, not me, us closer together. All right? And you're going to do it in the light of Ephesians chapter 5, submitting to one another. Because I'm just telling you, Jesus will be asking you to do some stuff that you ain't even got a desire to do it. Let's be honest. You don't even want to be doing it. But we do it because we love him. We do it out of submission. Like, we just fasted 21 days. Like, I fasted 21 days. I participated in every single day. And there were days I'm like, I ain't digging this today. I'm just not into this. I don't even feel spiritual doing the devotion. You know what I'm saying? But I did it because it was a discipline. So when you get together, you sit down, you talk about this, understand there may be some things that they ain't going to float your boat. Okay? Number two is this. Sit down and discuss that anything that's threatening the priority of your spouse, and then do something about it. So you're going to sit down with your spouse and you're going to say, is there anything going on in our world that is like maybe creating distance between us, maybe hindering like our relationship with each other? If so, what is that? And you're just going to listen. You're just going to listen to that person. You're not going to get defensive, and you will want to defend yourself. You're just going to listen. Try to have ears that are going to understand what they're saying. Not what you feel like, but how they are feeling that way. And then you're going to do something about it. You're going to have a dialogue about it, and then you're going to make some plans to address whatever that is. Shay and I have never had these problems, to my knowledge. She can correct me if I'm wrong. We've never had an issue where there was another person that threatened us, like jealousy or anything like that. But if that ever were the case, and my wife were to say, I'm not comfortable with your relationship here, you know, and that really makes me uncomfortable, I would address that. I might not say anything to a person or whatever, but I would find some way that I would address that. Because why? She is the most important person in my life, and I'm going to worship I said it. I'm going to worship her in that area of my life. Worship is simply this. We relate it to just God, but Scripture says this. Listen, where your treasure is, that's what you're going to worship. So worship in this broad context, she's worth so much honor for me that I'm going to do something about it, and I hope she does the same for me. And this is the last thing. Plan a date night. Plan a date night. Pastor, things are tough. Money's tight. Fix a bologna sandwich and go down to Fairhope Pier. Like, go look at the sunset. Like, dates are cheap. They really are. Don't plan some huge necessarily thing. Just do something small. Think of small things. Small things mean so much more than the big things. Lots of small things add up to big things. But plan it. And then you'll see a post sometimes this month on Facebook or Instagram. And I want you, when you're at your date night, I want you to take a selfie of you guys. And I want you to post it. All right? But Pastor, I don't have anybody romantic in my life right now. Take a picture of yourself and say, this is me and Holy Spirit, you know, and post it. You make your date with somebody else. Make your date with a friend. It can be totally platonic. Just make your date, make something, and do something fun to find value in people. I want to pray over your marriages. I want to pray over your future marriages. I know it's 12:06 and I'm fixing to let you go. But I want you, if you would, just stand up. And Holy Spirit, there are people in the house today that they're wondering, where is my spouse? Where is the lover that I want so desperately. And I pray for whoever that person is. I pray that God would bring your paths across each other, and that he would give you the patience to be careful and wise and patient as he is bringing that person. That you would not create an Ishmael moment in your life and you jump the gun on what God is doing in your life. And you try to rush something. I pray, Holy Spirit, that these people that are here and they're not married, that you would comfort them in their time of just aloneness, that this time of aloneness does not have to be a negative thing, but that, God, this could be a very positive thing. And some of you, even the Lord, may have called you to that for the rest of your life. And I don't know if that's true, and I don't know if you want to receive that or not. I'm not saying that's you, but if it is, that you embrace whatever God has for you during that time. Because God's grace is going to be sufficient for you in that area. There are those of you who you've grown lukewarm in your relationship with your family. And this is what I pray for you, is that where you are in your relationship, there would be a rekindling of it, and that you would understand through wisdom that that's going to be a cycle, and you're never going to get on fire and stay on fire. That's not the normalcy of things, but that you would rekindle, as Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift inside of you. Why? Because gifts are like fires that tend to burn down, and you need to stir it up again. So, Holy Spirit, in that complacency, Lord, breathe life and fire back into marriages. Holy Spirit says he's not going to do it just if you don't do anything. Everything is a give, and it shall be given to you. So you give, draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. Everything is an investment. So you start making an investment, and you watch God do something in it, okay? And then, Father, there are some in the room today that, like, the marriage is, like, it's done. I'm over. I'm out of here. I was out a long time ago. I speak healing over your heart. I speak healing. Only God will know if that will survive. And you know your situation. Whatever your situation is, only God knows if that will survive. But you keep pressing forward. You keep pressing into what God wants from you, and that's making him priority. Matthew 6:33, which was the key verse of that last series we were in, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right ways of living. Just seek God, man. Just seek God. And if that works out, praise God. And if it doesn't, God's going to have something better for you. And listen, that's a whole different topic for me to get into, and we don't have time today. I'm not advocating for divorce. I'm not advocating for any of that. You know your situation, and we are not here to judge that. What I'm here to do is I'm here to encourage you, seek God, press into him, and trust God for the outcome. Holy Spirit, I speak healing over families in this area. There are some of you that are divorced, and that's been a baggage on you for years. Right now, just release that to the Lord. Just release the baggage. Release the heaviness that you've been carrying around. That's done. That's done. And the Lord's saying, move on. Just move on. Change your language. I hear him saying, change your language. Change how you talk about it. Change how you think and when you think about it. Because some of you have been thinking about it too much. Listen, I'm telling you, this is from Holy Spirit. Some of you have been thinking about it too much. And you haven't taken those thoughts captive. And when they come, you've just let them go to all kind of crazy places. Right now, you need to begin to take those captive. The Lord doesn't want you having those conversations anymore. He wants you to just push them aside. And then, Lord, I pray for spouses that they are not receptive. They are not pliable. They are not moldable. Their hearts have hardened. And God, they've closed their ears to your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you don't give up on them. I pray, O Holy Spirit, that there's a transformation that happens. You are the God of healings. Amen? He's the God of healings. He's the God of putting things back together again. It's always a last resort that God is for separation. In Matthew, I can't remember what chapter it is, 12 maybe, but the point is, the Pharisees came and they said, so when's it okay to get divorced? And he said, because Moses even taught that, you know, there are certain circumstances that you can get divorced and yada, yada, yada. And Jesus said, well, listen, Moses only gave that because y'all hardened your hearts. Like, he just gave you that because you hardened your heart and you wouldn't listen. More than anything, would you just do this? Would you just listen to God? Would you just listen to God? I want to make this commitment to you. If anything I've said today is confusing to you, like, Pastor, I don't understand. I'm in this situation. I need to talk about it because you've kind of made me think about something, or Holy Spirit's making me think about something, and I'm thinking something different. All you have to do is reach out to me and email me, and I promise you, we'll sit down. If you're a female, probably have to have somebody with us, another female. But the point being, I don't want you walking away confused about what God wants when it comes to family. And my commitment to you is, if you need me, I'm here for you. Holy Spirit, as we go out of this place today, the blessing of the Lord be upon families, that there be joy in families, that there be passion in families, that there be a growth of intimacy in families, that God, some of y'all are on your path. Listen to me. Some of y'all are on your path to finding the right person. I'm not just saying this like just generally. Y'all know I don't operate that way. I'm telling you, somebody in this room, I don't know if it's one or multiple, but somebody in this room is on their path to finding their person that God is about to connect you guys with. Amen.